Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
We who follow Jesus and stand with King have to stand against guns.
Just as the abolitionists vowed that they would remain in the fight until the field was won, we will remain in this fight until every child is welcomed in life and protected by law.
Yes, I'm saved not because I was baptized. I'm saved because I am baptized.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
There are some parables that Jesus tells that, well, they might make sense. If you don't pay too close attention to the details, they might make some sense. And this is how a lot of Christians mistakenly get the idea that the point of Jesus' parables is to teach us a little lesson, to give us a little thought for the day, or maybe even a little moral wisdom that we can follow, a moral example to follow. But you look more carefully at the parables, and they don't fit that mold really at all. And then this one, this parable of the tenants or the laborers in the vineyard, this one doesn't make a lot of sense at all. And it doesn't even make sense from a cursory reading. Why is this? Why does Jesus tell such preposterous stories? And if someone ran a business the way Jesus says the master of this man would run his business, he'd go out of business. People would be taking advantage of him right and left. So generous is this man paying people for practically no work, maybe in some cases no work at all. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's our Pastor's Roundtable on this Tuesday. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 20, the first 16 verses. Actually, I think that's where we're at. The laborers in the vineyard, Pastor Ben Ball will be our guest here in the studio along with Pastor Chris Hull. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. Another passage to turn our attention to for study, this time as a Sunday school lesson, Luke chapter 4, about 16 verses there, where Jesus is in Nazareth, that's his hometown, and rather than getting a warm reception and a hometown parade, he is rejected right there by his very own people. That's a little bit later here on Issues Etc. Now, the listener with the best question or comment during this hour will receive the Lutheran Study Bible. You can give us a question or a comment. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, and we've left space there for you to leave a question or a comment for our Pastor's Roundtable, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Ben Ball he has been a guest, but never here in the studio, if I'm not mistaken. He's the new pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Ben, welcome back.
It is great to be here today.
And how are things settling in Hamel and at St. Paul?
It depends on who you ask. If you asked my wife, it'd be a little chaotic, and I want to send a shout-out to my dear bride right now. I'm doing great with four little people and settling into a house. It's been, challenging, but the people of God in Hamel are patient, loving, caring, taking care of us, taking care of Serena and the kids. We're doing really well.
All right, that's great to hear. Joining us on the phone, Pastor Chris Hull. He is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. Glad to be back.
Chris, I guess the first question I've got on this parable that Jesus tells is, would this make any sense if it were anyone else but Jesus telling this story?
No, it wouldn't make any sense. As you mentioned in your little introduction, this doesn't make any sense even from a reasonable stance. when you're building a business model, would you say, well, I'm going to pay the guy who only works once a week as much as I pay the guy who works every single day of the week? You're eventually going to go poor because you're giving more than what you're getting. But it's interesting when we look at this text, why Christ is preaching it. He's preaching this text not to give us a little life lesson. This is him preaching his work on the cross outside of his work of accomplishing our salvation on the cross. This parable makes no sense at all. Moses can't tell it. Paul can't tell it. The only one who can tell it is the one who actually does the work, the one who hands over the goods, and that is Jesus himself.
Give us some context here, Pastor Ball. Where are we in Matthew's gospel? Where we are we in the story of Jesus?
Our Lord Jesus Christ here is just about to enter into Jerusalem. Maybe he's just a few days before Palm Sunday here. So he is on his way. He's getting ready to, right immediately after this parable, reveal to his disciples again on the way to Jerusalem that he's going to suffer and die and be raised again. And then come the events of Holy Week. So we are right there on the cusp of our Lord Jesus Christ suffering, death, and resurrection.
All right, Pastor Hull, it starts out with a common beginning that Jesus mm-hmm. often puts at the very head of all of his, or most of his parables, and that is, and in this case, it is the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew's preferred way of talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of heaven is like, what is that intended to introduce? What's the subject here?
Well, the subject is Christ himself. The kingdom of heaven is Jesus. When we try to see the kingdom of heaven as either this place on earth, or well, the kingdom of heaven is up in the sky. That it's not this physical place, it is a person. It is Jesus himself, what he does for his creation. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus is explaining, this is what I'm like. This is who I am. As he preaches this parable, you know, following right after his exhortation, or I guess you could say rebuke of the rich young man, he goes right into, well, this is who I am. I am, the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard.
So is he describing, Pastor Ball, I think a lot of people when they think of kingdom of heaven, they think about the kingdom to come. You know, they think about, as we would say in our hymns or prayers, the world to come, the next life, or maybe life in heaven as opposed to life on earth.
He's talking about life right now. This is the way that Jesus works. He gives by his grace so graciously, I guess there's no better way you could say it. This parable is about how Jesus takes those who have done nothing, have really not earned much of anything, and gives them more than they could ever expect, and he gives so more that it makes other people angry. He's doing that now in his church. He takes these poor sinners, the likes of you and me, and he gives graciously. And half the time, we don't even want it. We're not expecting it, and he just plucks us, takes us, and gives more than we could ever desire, or especially more than we could ever deserve, which is about nothing. What we deserve is punishment. But he gives more and more. Even, again, he gives so much that he makes people mad.
Okay, what is it? I want both of you to answer this question, and I'll let you have a few seconds to think about it, Pastor Ball. Pastor Hull, what is it that, in two respects, about Christ's grace that angers us? I mean, one, to be a recipient of it, often people are really put off to be told that they need it. And then to witness someone else getting it, as Pastor Ball has pointed out, often mm-hmm. makes us angry. What is it about Christ's grace that angers us so? What's it about us that it angers us so?
Well, that question is a very good one, because you could talk about it all day long. There's many reasons why Christ's grace angers us. One of them is the law itself. We, as Paul preaches in Galatians 3, we are ones who are under the law, cursed under the law. When we look at our own sinful condition, the grace of Christ eliminates all of our contemplation, all of our works, all of our merit, all of our reasoning, logic, emotion. It's all thrown away. You cannot be the Pharisee pounding your chest saying, at least I'm not like this tax collector. That all is put away when Christ proclaims the words of absolution. And I think you get that beautifully in this parable when, what are the laborers hired at the beginning of the day doing? They're complaining that the guys at the end of the day get the same pay. But the best part is Jesus still forgives them. He doesn't send them away and say, well, you reject my grace, be away with you. He still says, friend, did we not agree to this? And he pays them. This grace that Christ gives is nothing that is produced from our own depraved hearts, but comes from the deep well of Christ's gut-wrenching compassion. And I think that's what angers us, is because, one, we don't understand it, and two, it's not how we play ball. Not talking about Pastor Ball, obviously.
We'll get Pastor Ball's response to that question. What is it that so infuriates us when we see God being gracious to people? Or sometimes even when God says, I would be gracious to you. Pastor Ben Ball is here in the studio, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Pastor Chris Hull is on the phone. He's pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. We're talking about the laborers in the vineyard, our pastor's roundtable, on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 22nd of January, right there in Matthew chapter 20. Our call-in number, we're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email. Please include your city and state. TalkBackAtIssuesETC.org, TalkBackAtIssuesETC.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or leave a question or a comment for our pastor's roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, IssuesETC.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at IssuesETC.org.
There's an app for that.
First stanza of the hymn Salvation Unto Us Has Come. We're talking about Jesus' famous parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Actually, it's kind of the payday parable. And payday seems to be the same for everybody, no matter how long they labored in that vineyard. It's our pastor's round table. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Ben Ball, Pastor Chris Hull are our guests. You can join us, and we're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-877-623-6943. The Lutheran Study Bible is a resource that many of our pastor roundtable participants often find very helpful. But I will tell you, they go deeper than the notes on the study Bible because they're pastors, because they have access to the original languages. I can see right now Pastor Ball's got his Greek open right in front of him, and that's a good responsible thing for a pastor to do. What's a layperson to do who doesn't know how to read the Greek? Well, you can't call your pastor every 5 minutes. It's not a bad idea to call him. The Lutheran Study Bible is a good substitute when pastor's away, when you don't want to call him for the third time about a Bible passage. It's a very good and comprehensive guide for the thorough student of Holy Scripture. Find out more about the Lutheran Study Bible at our website, issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call and order one, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. All right, let's clear up something from the beginning, but first we got to get Pastor Ball's response. Why? Because this is a grace parable, and there's a problem there that I want to get to in a minute. Why, and you see it happen in congregations, why does God's grace make people angry? You've preached a sermon, and you've walked out, and you've had someone say, Pastor, what you said was too good to be true. And they're not happy with you.
Well, it's not fair. For God to treat me so well, it just isn't right. He shouldn't treat me as well as he does. If someone is cognizant of their own sinfulness, if they really know in their heart how really lousy they are, and they hear that God does not hold a single thing against him for the sake of Jesus Christ, it doesn't seem right. I think you see this on Good Friday a lot. People come out of Good Friday services in tears, not because they're overhearing about Jesus' pain and suffering, maybe, but they get the sense of, this just isn't, it's not supposed to be. It just can't be. How can he be this good to somebody like me? It's hard to get your head around. But at the same time, that God is so gracious toward me can make me very angry with him when maybe I'm sinned against, or I see someone who has committed grave sins, maybe publicly it's been manifest in the congregation. And God deals so graciously with them. And I think that there should be some kind of consequence for this person. I mean, they're just scot-free. They're back in just like I am. There's no strings attached to anything. And that can make me very upset. I want some justice in this world. And how God deals with them is not according to his justice, but according to his grace and mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that can make somebody mad.
All right, then let's talk about one of the wrinkles in this parable that some people might find difficult. They say, yeah, you're right, pastors. It's a parable about grace, but look at these people. They're laborers in a vineyard. They all work. In fact, we will note as we get to the end of the parable, he doesn't pay anybody for no work. I mean, at least the people who got paid for 1 hour still worked 1 hour, albeit not as much as the people who worked for 12 hours or however long they were supposed to be working. How do we sort this out where we're going to be treating this as a parable of grace, Pastor Hull, mm-hmm. but it's about people working and getting paid for it?
Yeah. Yes. The parable begins, he goes out, the master goes out, and he hires people for a denarius a day. He says, will you agree to this? They say, yes. Then he says, go work in the vineyard. They do this at, you know, the first hour, third hour, sixth hour, seventh hour, ninth, tenth, 11th hour. He then sends them out to work in the vineyard, and at the end of the day, gives them the denarius. The promise of what will be paid is given before the work begins. The promise is there of the denarius. The gift is there. Not because of the labor they've produced do they get the denarius. The denarius is promised to them, and then they are sent out to work. I think the problem is people see this as, well, if I work, then I'll get this denarius. No, it goes from one causing the other. The promise of the denarius, then you go and work. It's a condition. We attach so much to this text of my work, the little bit that I give, but as it shows with the different hours of the day, it doesn't matter what amount of work you do, the gift remains the same, the gift of Christ Jesus. In baptism, we are given the gift, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of salvation, not a little bit or a third, but the whole thing. And then we are cast out into this world to love our neighbor. As it says in Article 6 of the Augsburg Confession, faith is bound to produce good works. We labor in this world. We labor in love. We labor in forgiveness. We labor in the work of Christ, in our vocations. But then at the end, in our last dying breath, what do we get? Jesus again. We have Jesus in the Lord's Supper, Jesus constantly given, not because of our labor. That's just what we do. But the gift is always there.
Pastor Ball, as we go through these verses here, the scenario that Pastor Hull laid out there is quite correct. He goes out early in the morning, says, will you work for a denarius? Sure. The next people in verse 3 and 4, going out about the third hour, mid-morning, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And he says, he didn't say denarius. He says, whatever is right, I will give you. He doesn't promise these guys a denarius. Is this just Jesus kind of setting up the punchline at the end? Or he seems to indicate, the master seems to say, well, you know, I'll give you what's fair for since I'm picking you up late in the morning.
Well, that's exactly the point. And then the fact that these guys all get the denarius at the end, that is the punchline. They don't get what's right, which is what makes the guys who've been working all day so mad.
They want more. I mean, because he's paying least worked to most worked.
Correct.
And the guys at the end of the line, the most worked, the most tired out guys, see the denarius come in the way of the least worked, and they think, well, heck, I might be in for 11 or 12 denarii today.
Exactly, because all of a sudden they're seeing how gracious this owner is, and they think he's going to treat us even more graciously than the people that only have worked 1 hour. But that's how the whole business of the last and first works at the end, that in Christ we're all the same. And with him, graciously is everything. What's promised, and then what isn't promised, whatever's right. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's so hard to get your mind around and figure out reasonably how Jesus works, because he does not work reasonably. He doesn't work according to what we think is right or what we believe we've earned, deserved. He's always going to trip you up.
Is he saying, Pastor Ball, that there's no relationship to how long you've worked and what I'm going to give you? Is that what he's saying?
It really is. Well, of course, this conversation isn't related in Matthew's gospel, it's in Luke, but then you consider the thief on the cross, right? The thief on the cross, how long has he worked? Now, we know that he was making fun of Jesus earlier in the day when they were getting crucified. And he turns around, he comes to repentance and faith, and he's promised paradise. How long had he been believing in Jesus? Half hour?
I mean, a personal tour of paradise.
Right. With me, Jesus says. With me. So it's almost as if the deathbed conversion is the better way to go. We know that's not the case, but that's why it doesn't make any sense. Okay, I've been believing since I was baptized. I was a month old when I got baptized. There's not a single time in my life when I have not been believing, as far as I can tell. But that does not put me in a different standing than the thief on the cross. In Christ, we're all one, and we're all the same, and we get him. He's the reward. And there's no, you can't try and compare yourself to anybody else. That's the other thing Jesus is teaching here. Don't be comparing yourself to someone else. If you do that, the danger is you'll lose the reward and become last, which very well could mean you'd be out of the kingdom because you're thinking that Jesus has got to deal with me according to what I think I deserve. It's not going to work that way.
Let's take another break when we come back. Another half hour with our Pastor's Roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon, January the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Today it's been 40 years since the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand. It's hard to believe that America has tolerated the killing of innocent preborn children for so long. The human carnage is beyond words. Those of us who've long been involved in working to end abortion never guessed it would take over 40 years to right the wrong, and we still have much work to do before mothers and their babies are protected from the abortion industry. Who could have imagined the conscience of our nation would grow so callous while tens of millions of mothers and fathers who chose abortion daily struggle with their past? Let this be a day of mourning and prayer. Please join me in praying God will have mercy on America and help us end the slaughter of his babies.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
It was a false misleading dream that God his law had given, that sinners could themselves redeem, and by their works that lurks within our nature.
The hymn Salvation Unto Us Has Come, stanza 3. It's our pastor's round table. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Looking at Jesus' famous parable from Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, the laborers in the vineyard. Some of them are better laborers than other, and we're finding out the irony of it is that this is not about labor or laborers at all. We're giving away a copy of the Lutheran Study Bible to the listener with the best question or comment, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for the Pastor's Roundtable at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Hull, the farther we get into this parable, the less it seems to be about work at all, although it ironically appears to be all about work and hours put in and things like that. But there's kind of a mini parable in here, or maybe there is. Tell me what you think. Right there at verse 6, he comes to these last hired. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And their answer is, "Because no one has hired us." And that seems he has a little conversation with these guys that he doesn't have with the other people he's been hiring throughout the day. What's there for us to notice?
What we see is one who's idle all day. I mean, idle is just you're doing nothing. We see someone who, maybe you see a homeless man who doesn't even have a sign out saying, could use money for food. He's instead sitting around doing nothing. These idle people, and we always focus on that aspect. What are these men doing? But the answer that they give is because no one has hired us. When Christ speaks of this kingdom of heaven, he's speaking of himself. No one has hired us. No one has called us. We haven't heard about this work in the vineyard. Now, this isn't some grand mission statement. What it is they have not heard the news of the kingdom of heaven, the news of the vineyard. That is why they stand around idle all day with nothing to do. And those who are idle, not just are idle, but they're even a leech on society, a drain on society, because they're not contributing, only taking. And that is what we do as sinful human beings. We don't give, we just take. When Christ comes to us, he calls us by the gospel, the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, to be laborers in the vineyard, meaning those who have a faithful vocation of loving our neighbor and receiving the gifts of Christ Jesus. You see this little parable. No one's hired us. No one has called us. We haven't heard the word. And then the guy says, well, come on. Let's go.
Here's one of those places, Pastor Ball, that it just doesn't make any sense for either party involved. I mean, if you hit the 11th hour of the day, which is sundown, I mean, we're talking about a day of labor, which is sundown, it's hardly worth your time to go out and hire anybody else, much less your money. And it's hardly worth their time to go and work for an hour, especially if they think, well, maybe they're thinking, I guess it's better than nothing. I'll get a few shekels or whatever it is. And it's another patch here in this parable that doesn't make a lot of sense. What is Jesus telling us about the fact that he's out there calling people all the way to the bitter end, all the way to the whistle?
This is how it's going in the church right now. I mean, we're in the latter days. Is our Lord coming tomorrow? Boy, I sure hope so. But the preaching of his gospel and the revelation of his kingdom is going all the way to the end. So now, in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, as the kingdom of heaven is being revealed to us in the word and sacrament, it keeps on going. It doesn't stop. It's going to keep on going until, boom, the trumpet sounds, the dead are raised, and we see our Lord Jesus Christ. It keeps on going. And so while it seems like nothing much is going on, there is. He's calling people into his kingdom. He is seeking and saving these people who haven't heard, don't know, but they're the ones he's chosen, and he's called them, and they come.
So, Pastor Hull, this is a picture of a baby being baptized 3 seconds before the parousia, someone hearing the gospel 10 seconds before Jesus comes back again for judgment. Is that what we're looking at here?
Oh, yes. We are looking at the grace of Christ not having any limits or any time constraints. It is constantly working and going. And you even think of this, when you hire someone at the end of the day, how charitable this is. You know you're going to be giving them the great gift. He doesn't go out thinking, I'm going to get so much work for this denarius. He knows he's not going to get anything, really, in return. And that's not why Christ saves us. He doesn't redeem us from sin, death, and the power of the devil because he's going to get something in return. He does it because that is who he is. Christ is our gracious brother, our gracious Savior, our noble shepherd who lays down his life on behalf of the sheep constantly, all the way to the bitter until he comes again in glory to take us from this valley of death.
So explain this to me, Pastor Ball. Why is it that so many in the church act like they got all the time in the world? In other words, the message that they're preaching isn't sheer grace, your works are immaterial to God's grace. It is all Christ's work. That's the message that comes out of this parable. But the church, so much of the church today preaches your works. Get busy. Let's see how hard you're working. Let's see how long you've been working, how much you've improved. It's all busy, busy, work, work, work.
I had a really great professor in college who has been a guest in this program many times, Dr. Steve Hine. He said, we've turned our parishes into Saint Activity Lutheran Church. We got to be doing something. And this is the sad thing about doing something. It really is, we don't think about this cognitively, I don't think. But we think we got to be doing something to be Christian. We got to be working somehow. We got to have something going on or else we're not being church. Some program, something. Well, that's not it at all. What's Christ doing? How is he working? How is he gathering his people for himself? And then what's he do through his people? It's not about activity or work, which we can then hold before. I don't think that most people are trying to justify themselves before God. They're trying to justify themselves before other people.
What do you mean by that?
I think most Christian people know that they are not saved. Let's stick your average confessional Lutheran layman. He knows he is not justified by his own works. He knows that. He knows he cannot save himself. But he sure would like to justify himself before other people. He wants to say, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm doing something. Look what I'm doing. That is just as nefarious. Because we don't want to be known by what we are doing. We want to be known by who we belong to. I'm a Christian. Christ has called me by the gospel. But I want to show people how good I am and what a good Christian I am. Well, that's just as bad as trying to justify yourself before God. This is what these guys in the parable are doing. Look, I'm better than these guys. I want to be justified more than they. It doesn't work. And it makes us into people that don't care, actually love our neighbor. We are always looking down on our neighbor like these guys are. You haven't done as much as I have. Look at me. I'm a Christian. Look how much I've worked. I've been working in this congregation my whole life. And what have you done? And that causes all kinds of bad stuff.
When we come back, your questions and your comments, and I invite them. This break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. We're looking at the parable of the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20. 10 more minutes with our pastor's roundtable, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Pastor Ben Ball and Pastor Chris Hull are our guests. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The law reveals the guilt of sin and makes us conscience-stricken. But then the gospel enters in, the sinful soul to quicken. Come to the cross, trust Christ and live. The law no peace can ever give.
It's our pastor's roundtable. That's stanza 8 of the hymn, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 20, the first 16 verses, the laborers in the vineyard. Pastor Chris Hull and Pastor Ben Ball are our guests. Pastor Hull, how do we avoid kind of the, look how long this aged saint has labored in the vineyard. Look how well they have labored, giving the impression, albeit unintentionally, that somehow their reward is tied to their long labor.
One is not avoiding the gifts they've given in the church, how Christ and the Holy Spirit have worked through them in the congregation, proclaiming that, this vocation they've had, but proclaiming, more importantly, the call they received, not a divine call, mind you, but the call of the gospel. What I think is interesting with this text is it's quoted twice in our confessions, both in the Formula of Concord, the Epitome and Solid Declaration, in Article 11 on election. And do you mind if I just read that small paragraph from the Epitome real quick on it?
Sure.
It's paragraph 12 of Article 11. That many are called and few are chosen, Matthew 20:16, does not mean that God does not want to save everyone. Instead, the reason for condemnation lies in their not hearing God's word at all or arrogantly despising it, plugging their ears and their hearts, and thus blocking the Holy Spirit's ordinary path so that he cannot carry out his work in them. Or if they have given it a hearing, they cast it to the wind and pay no attention to it. Then the fault lies not with God and his election, but with their own wickedness. We proclaim, and that's the conclusion of that paragraph, we proclaim the good things they've done in their life, but more importantly, why we now gather around, let's say at a funeral, around their body to give thanks for their life is because Christ ransomed their life from the clutches of the devil. He purged them of their sin in his own blood. More importantly, he called them by the word, and they heard it, received it, communed, taking the body and blood of Christ and are now forgiven. We can't say that their works are nothing. No, their works are something. Their works are great love for their neighbor. It is Christ active in his creation, still saving, still comforting, still loving. And that is how I think we avoid that.
Nate listens in Northwood, North Dakota, and he has this question for you, Pastor Ball. Can you explain how Luther's understanding of the theologian of glory versus the theologian of the cross dynamic come into play with the text of this parable?
Sure. I'm going to direct you, Nate, if you have a copy, they're online, to Luther's church postal on this very text, a sermon that was written to be read in church. He addresses that very issue. He says this about the first and last. He says, Christ holds up himself before the apostles. Here it happens that the one who's in the eyes of the world is truly poor, weak, and despised. It who suffers, in whom there is no sign that he is anything, yet he is first before God. So this whole business of being first and last really is about a theology of the cross. Jesus is talking in this parable about those who are being last. It's himself. In the eyes of the world, Christ is nothing. In this parable, in the eyes of those who'd worked all day, the guys who only worked an hour are nothing. But Jesus makes them first. He becomes last. He's nothing. He is worse than a slave when he's on the cross. But there he is exalted. There he's actually first for us. And so what, by the parable, Jesus is doing is he wants us all to be last. Humble yourself. Be willing to be nothing. In your idleness, let Jesus have his way and take you and then make you on equal standing, not only with those who've been working all day, but with himself. But that's hidden from the eye. Just as the fact that Jesus, in his being last, is actually first, is hidden from the eye. Those who think they're something, on the other hand, who look to be strong and mighty in this world, who, and as a matter of fact, really are strong and mighty in this world, they will become last forever and have nothing. That's the point that Jesus is trying to get across here. So in this world, don't worry about being last. Actually, try to be last. Then you're in the place where Jesus wants you to be. And then he's going to make you first.
William has this question for you, Chris. Is the work in the parable a kingdom of the left issue and the promise a kingdom of the right issue?
I wouldn't say it's a kingdom of the left and the right necessarily. I mean, the promise is always a kingdom of the right, and the kingdom of the left, meaning the kingdom of the world, is a realm of law. We work and we get a reward for it. Whereas in the kingdom of the right, we not only don't work, we fight and we receive the promises of Christ. With the laborers in the vineyard, the manager sends them out to work in the vineyard, tending to it. Sometimes I've heard sermons on this where they apply this laborers in the vineyard as, well, now you've received the gift, now go. Your job isn't to think of the gift anymore, but to go and do the work, because that's why you're baptized, to do work. Well, no. We do work because that is what our condition is as believers. We serve both in the church with holy absolution, forgiving one another each other's sins, building one another up in the promises of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is not bound to just that. He works in the kingdom of the left, working in civil righteousness and love for our neighbor there. I wouldn't try to make the sharp distinction, because then what is the relation between the two? I would say that in the laborers in the vineyard is both, and we are working in the kingdom of the right and of the left, because we stand in both of them, not in one or the other.
James in Pasco, Washington, for you, Pastor Ball, why are the workers who worked the longest the last to be paid? Is there any significance to the order of those being paid? You kind of talked about that a moment ago, but is there?
Yeah, he's really he's setting them up. It's the punchline. It's what Jesus says when the master says, "Is it not lawful, verse 15, for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I'm good?" The ones, you know, they're anticipating, wow, if he's given that much to these people who have done nothing, what's he going to give me? I've worked so hard. And then they're upset that he doesn't. It really is the punchline of the whole parable. Look, everybody's on the same plane. I'm gracious with everybody. Are you mad at me because I'm gracious? And the people who are first need to be like the ones who are last. And so by giving them his gift at the very end, he's showing them that you're all in me. Everything you got is from me. It all comes as a gift, all undeserved, and by his gracious mercy.
Pastor Hull, final word, if you could put it in a short paragraph. What yes. is this parable about?
This parable is about absolution. And I say that with one of those last verses when he calls them friend. Have I done you any wrong? He says, go. I choose to give to whomever I desire. He doesn't banish those last ones and say, you have despised the denarius, get away from me. He says, friend, I've done you no wrong. Christ has done us no wrong, yet gives to us. When we sin so grievously against him, so heinously, he forgives us because he chooses to forgive us. He wills to absolve us. For that is the essence of his grace, is his blood on the cross, and then that cross branded on our foreheads and hearts in baptism and made the sign of when we are absolved in the divine service.
Pastor Chris Hull is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you much. God bless.
Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Ben, thank you very much.
It's good to be here. If I may have a moment, I'd like all the listeners to continue to support Issues, Etc., because if you don't, then the Shores family won't be able to tithe, and then I won't be able to receive a salary or have a home to live in because Jeff is one of my parishioners. So please support this show. And also thanks to my dear wife for coming down here to Illinois with me to live in Hamel.
Very nice. Nate in North Dakota, if you would send us your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you the Lutheran Study Bible. Thanks to everybody for the questions and their comments during our Pastor's Roundtable. Colleen Carroll Campbell will kick off the second hour of the program. We're going to talk about the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade. And then Pastor Tom Baker will teach a Sunday school lesson with us in Luke chapter 4, Jesus Rejected at Nazareth. What does Jesus do right after he tells this parable? Almost immediately after he tells this parable, he heads into Jerusalem and to, if you will, his payday. Now, no one can claim to have put in as much time or as much labor, much effort as this man, Jesus. He has labored and worked to the nth degree. He has rendered perfect obedience to his Father from beginning to end. He is the obedient Son. He actually is the heir of the whole operation. And there he shows up in the line for the pay. And what does he get from his Father? Nothing. Punishment. And what does that mean for us? We have everything that belongs to him free. That's grace. I'm Todd Wilkin, hour two in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.